Hello, and welcome to another Lighthouse Podcast, Manna. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Word. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at several encounters that Jesus had in the Gospel of Luke, particularly with the Pharisees. And so it's been interesting for me to see the difference in those reactions with Jesus, with some of the other people that we see in Luke's Gospel. And so for the most part, we see that the religious leaders rejected Jesus. There were a few, but in Luke 6:11, we see that this kind of came to its peak. And we read that in Luke 6:11, they were filled with rage. And this was after the healing on the Sabbath. And so their response was to be filled with rage rather than to be filled with awe and wonder. And we see in Acts 5:17 that they were jealous, and in Matthew 5:12 that they were offended. And so their position of their heart as they were reacting to Jesus is quite telling. And so we contrast that with the story that we explored a few weeks ago of those who tore open the roof to get their friend down in to see Jesus, to get him healed. And we also know of other stories, you know, where the woman, you know, kind of fought through the crowds just to be able to touch the hem of his garment and more, right? So these contrasting views, but they're all kind of strong reactions, right, to encountering Jesus. And, you know, we kind of ask, well, what could provoke these kind of strong emotions? And Jesus gives us the answer here in Luke 6 in verses 43 and 45. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And so the answer is, it's from the heart. And so Jeremiah tells us about the heart in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? So who can understand it indeed other than Christ? And so the psalmist knew this, David, King David, which is why he wrote in Psalm 51, which is his prayer of repentance after he had gone into Bathsheba. We'll pick it up in verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And so David looked to God to create in him a clean heart. He acknowledged his sin before God and knew that it wasn't anything David could bring about himself. So he sought the Lord in bringing about a clean heart in him. And so we see, you know, in looking at and seeing the difference between David and the Pharisees, you know, the heart response, that reminds me of the parable of the talents and how the servants responded to the master. And so we know the story, right, that found in Matthew 25, that Jesus is telling this parable of the master leaving on a journey and coming back at an undisclosed time. And he gave three servants different amounts of talents, money. And two of the servants were industrious with that money, and they returned back to the master more than he'd given them. However, the third servant buried the money, and when questioned, this is what he says in Matthew 25:24-25. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." So he's all proud about preserving the one that the Lord had given him. But the servant's perception of the master was incorrect. Rather than seeing his master as a benevolent, generous, and gracious master for asking him to steward his money while he was away, he saw his money, or he had a distorted view of the master. And he saw him as one who was hard and unscrupulous and even greedy by the tone of his response here, right? And so the servant is casting blame on the master for his own laziness. Not only laziness in laboring to increase the amount of money that he had been given to steward, but also laziness in spending time in getting to know the master instead of looking and seeing the goodness of his master in all that he had done, right? His heart led him to believe something that was untrue and ultimately led him to something that was ruinous, right? His talent, the only talent that he was given, had been taken away and given to another, leaving him, you know, without. And so that's why we're repeatedly encouraged to seek the Lord, right? From Isaiah 55:6, you know, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, to Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so here's the point, right, is that our hearts direct the response to Jesus. And in order to have a right heart with him, we need to seek him, right? We need to ask him for a heart that sees him in the true light of who he truly is. And so hope that's encouraging. Go out and have a great day and the rest of the week.